Time for Truth About Markets on Residence 104.4 with Max and Stacy. And Stacy, I see that the Occupy London Group, which is a spinoff from the Global Insurrection Against Banker Occupation, started on this show 5 years ago, is run into some resistance or some controversy or some kind of situation down there at the church.
Oh, yes. The St. Paul's, the guy who runs it, that dude.
Yeah.
He's telling them to leave.
Well, I read the letter from Occupy London to the church saying that they didn't understand why they would close the church. And the church said that it would interfere with commerce. That seemed weird because they were actually attracting commerce. There was no disruption, no problems at all. The church just took it upon itself to close down and without much of an explanation, really. And the protesters said, well, it doesn't make any sense to us, so we're just going to continue. And that's they're there today.
Well, and what do you think of that? So they're just going to occupy the church, St. Paul's. I read that it's the first time in history that it's closed down.
Right. Well, it's weird. You know, they, it doesn't seem to make any sense at all why they would close down. So the Occupy London group has ignored them because they don't make any sense. And the Occupy London group has a very important job to do as part of the global insurrection against banker occupation. So they must continue doing what they're doing.
Well, the church in England has always had a very convoluted relationship with the monarchy. And of course, the British banks are part of the financial monarchy, aren't they? We learned this week from that scientific study that looked at the connections globally to see if indeed a certain power elite did control everything. And sure enough, they did find that 1% of corporations, or even less than that, control basically 60% of all the wealth and resources. And at the top of the squid of the pyramid is Barclays.
Yeah, there's Barclays Bank at the top. And we're going to be looking at that closer in the weeks coming soon. And, you know, it all goes back to 1500s or so, with their first age of globalization with Christopher Columbus. And the beginning of colonization around the world and the strip mining of gold and other assets to go back to the monarchies in Europe. Then you had the Enlightenment, which gave a bit of an interruption to the activities of the monarchies. That ended a few years ago, really, officially. And now we're back to the monarchs and aristocrats and kleptocrats. And the Occupy movement are the peasants. It's a peasant revolt, basically. And, you know, peasant revolts have succeeded on occasion. Usually they don't succeed. This one is still in the early going. I think that there's a good possibility it could succeed. And by success, I mean regime change.
Yeah, I put it out to the Twitter-osphere that we would accept questions and comments for today's show. And one question from Lurkin comes in. Is Hugo Boss considered a good investment? And the reason why I respond to that now is I was thinking of that scene from Occupy Wall Street where people were shutting down their Bank of America bank accounts.
Yeah.
And in it, a woman was tackled by an undercover policeman. And the reason why it got so much attention, and especially in the financial blogosphere and media, was that the woman was wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And that this was considered the outrageous thing, that obviously she was not one of the peasants. So in a way, yes, Hugo Boss, then if you could blend in, it's a good camouflage.
Well, I guess also it's a reference to the MaxKaiser.com site. You know, we have an image of Hugo Boss, like image. I'm in the image. I have a sign that says Occupy in style. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you click on the image, it goes to a gold and silver site where you can buy gold and silver. So it's a bit of a come on, and we're co-opting. It's a bit of an Adbusters type of media jamming. Nobody actually clicks on it. So they tweet me and saying, oh, look at that Hugo Boss ad. But then I say, have you clicked on it? And they go, no, I would never click on it. And I'm like, you know, you need to maybe A, get a life, B, overcome your fear of clicking. C, see the big picture. D, stop tweeting me.
Okay, well, here's somebody else who has tweeted you. This is a funny question from NTD303. I don't know if he's friends with R2D2.
I think they hang out. And CP3O.
Oh, C3P. Why did the markets rally yesterday when the EU bailout deal is nowhere being agreed and Greece is going to default?
Well, which markets is he referring to? I guess the stock market. Stock market was up, 260 points. The stock market, if you read Jim Rickard's Currency Wars, things are playing out in his baseline scenario. And stock markets are going to respond well to the massive inflation that's coming as a result of all the bailouts and all of the busted banks. Because the busted banks are tripping governments to print lots of money. The European credit facility line is multi-trillion euros in scope. So that's highly inflationary. What we haven't seen recently is velocity in the numbers that would indicate true inflation, but actually those numbers are up. Now velocity is coming in. So we're seeing real inflation kick in. So stocks are going to do well in that type of environment. Precious metals are going to do better than anything. The dollar and these currencies are going to go and play ping pong back and forth to see who's the weakest at any given moment. But the goal for all the governments is to have the weakest currency because they're all going to try to export their way out of this problem. And that's similar to previous currency wars. So, yeah, I wouldn't, stocks are going to, bonds are the thing that are going to have trouble. Anything that you need, fixed income, savings accounts, certificate of deposit, CDs, this type of thing, those people are going to get wiped out completely. Stockholders will do fine, especially. Especially stockholders in mining companies. And precious metals, of course, are the only place you want to have 90% or so of your wealth. We've been saying that here on the show for 5 or 6 years. Gold was, 100 British pounds an ounce. It's now, I think, over 1,000. So we've made people 10,000% on their, or 1,000% on their money, better than any money manager or fund or investment in the world. The listeners to this show who took our advice when gold was 100 pounds an ounce have had the best performing asset. And silver, too. I mean, that's even much more than gold. So these people are had the best performing assets of the past 10 years, unsurpassed. We know that gold and silver were the two best investments over the past 10 years. And oil came in the top five. But that's what we've been saying for 10 years. 90% in precious metals 10 years ago. It's good then, good now.
Well, speaking of currencies, here's another question from TTJ. 1776. I suppose that's Thomas Jefferson, 1776. Now, he asks, how does the death of Saudi Prince Sultan affect the future of the dollar for oil trade and thus dollar reserve system? Well, the thing about the Saudi royal family, of course, is they've got 8,000 more princes behind each one. So that's the good thing about the American puppet system there in Saudi Arabia, is if you think about it, every one of those quote-unquote royal family members there have like 60 children, whereas somebody like Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein only had 4 or 5 children.
Yeah. Well, you know more about the whole Saudi thing than I do. I mean, what else do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't think it affects it at all because there's 8,000 more princes behind the guy.
Yeah.
So, now Binky wants to know if you do something for a physical workout.
That sounds really gay.
This is Binky.
Okay, I double that comment.
I believe that's Binky from Vegas, the one with all the silver, and he has the children's army.
Oh, that Binky. Oh, yes. I just try to, I just chase down banksters all day and try to beat them up. That's my exercise.
Actually, I have a nice photo here that I'm going to be uploading, and it's you in Athens in Syntagma Square, holding a pair of handcuffs with a sign in Greek that I believe that says, like, cuff the banksters.
Nice. Yeah, upload that one. That's a good one. Right outside those hotels, which at the time, they, you know, when we were staying in them during the uprising, the big riots in the square a few months ago, and the anarchists came in, they threw rocks at the building, they smashed the front window, the staff was running out the back door, and we ran up to the top floor, and we felt, you know, threatened there for a bit. And it never really got to the point where we thought our lives were in danger. But now I understand that the anarchists are actually going into these hotels, and it's very dangerous there. Similarly in Cairo, you know, we were in Cairo and having a grand old time in Tahrir Square. And then like 2 months later, it got all violent and stuff. So we've missed all the good action.
Or even Max Kaiser goes to New York City for the first time in like 14 years, and the docile American people suddenly a month or two later are out there occupying Wall Street. I think that's the connection, little Max Kaiser.
Well, when I was on the Mott Street doing my show, you know, I said, the first thing I said is, if you see me in your town, you know, things are about to get crazy. Yeah. You're in trouble. And then this was like just a few weeks before Occupy Wall Street erupted, and now the whole globe has erupted into the global insurrection against banker occupation, as we've been calling for 5 years, predicted for 5 years. Even at the before the housing bubble popped, we said the housing bubble would pop. This would bring in a deflationary collapse, which would bring in a reinflationary nightmare and global insurrection. So pretty much everything we said would happen has happened. We're right in the thick of it now. I'll be in Dublin on November 3rd for the Occupy the Grand Social, which is a club, a bar, stage, theater, club in Dublin. Tickets are on sale now for a very attractive €3 price per ticket. They're selling like hotcakes. I don't know if there's any left.
I like the image of you that the owner of the Grand Social chose, which was you, where is that, the port with Brooklyn in the background in New York City, near Wall Street. And New York really is kind of a suburb. It's one of the two suburbs, American suburbs of Dublin, isn't it? Boston and New York City.
Yeah, there's a very big Irish population in New York. All the cops are Irish, of course. And you got a lot of Irish people working down in Wall Street, and you know, it's a big contingency of Irish people for sure. You know, not maybe as much as Boston. That's really really quite Irish there.
Yeah. So you're occupying the Grand Social. That's a really nice space. Hopefully anybody will go down there. We may also, but Max will definitely be in Kilkenny as well. That day and the following.
And Limerick to pick up my journalism award for my reports on financial terrorism. So my reporting on financial terrorism is being recognized by the University of Limerick with a lifetime membership of the Limerick University Debating Club. And I'll be giving a small speech to the gathered during that first week of November as well.
That genuinely makes you a financial war reporter. This is what we've always said for the last 5 years. We've called you a financial war reporter. Remember the original stuff we sent to the original like proposals we sent to Al Jazeera and stuff were that you were a financial war reporter.
Yeah, and because the 30-year credit bubble popped and the ensuing deflation would cause an incredible amount of social unrest now we're seeing. And we're really just at the end of the beginning in terms of the collapse. Now we're at the beginning of the middle. So we're going to start to see some major collapse in the global banking system, which is just going to bring in more unrest and more strife and more cultural upheaval, more good music, hopefully, as we saw in the 1960s. People are starting to make the comparison to the 1960s, which is what we've been saying now for 5-6 years, that this would come back in this way. So hopefully the music will respond And actually, I wrote a lyrics. I wrote some song lyrics when I was in Sheffield a couple of weeks ago. And they've been passed now to Jarvis Cocker and who's his partner?
Richard Hawley.
Oh, yeah, Richard Hawley. And they're meeting this weekend. They're supposedly they're going to come back with some music to go with my song lyrics, the song that I wrote called That's My Hat.
That's right. I can't wait to hear it to music. But, Max, you've got to come up with some more. You got to have a whole album. There, we need to define this era musically. And all these boy bands and girl bands, they're just not cutting it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the pop period is going to be washed over by this new phase. You know, also, speaking of the Irish trip, which includes Kilkenny and Limerick, Dublin, and the Kilkenomics Festival, our buddy Richard Bluestein is making a film about this. And if you want to reserve a share of the film, go to piratemyfilm.com, which is our site. And you can reserve a share. It works out to be a donation, basically, between $5 and $25. Until I figure out how to get the dividend model working, what it works out to is a donation, so it comes under the crowdfunding heading, which is a big trend out there on the internet these days. So you can reserve a share and then end up buying a share and get your name in the credits of this film.
By the way, speaking of the internet, you can follow me on Twitter.
What?
At Stacey Herbert. And, you know, right now I think much more interesting than Max Kaiser, because I have an iPhone, which I've only just learned after a year of owning it, how to directly upload to Twitter images I'm taking as I'm walking along. And, you know, this morning I was having a cup of coffee and a croissant, and I took this photo, and as I was taking the photo, there was a construction worker standing next to me in full, you know, construction worker gear, and he said, "Is that for the internet?" I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, well, your Twitter following is getting pretty big there, around 8,000 people follow Stacey on Twitter, her every utterance and photo.
See, you only have utterances. I have pictures now. Every other tweet from me is a picture.
I know, it's an arms race. Now I have to go get one of these Fakakta iPhones so I can take photos and upload it to my Twitter account. Otherwise, you're going to surpass me in number of followers.
Doesn't that look good? Nobody yet has spotted me in the background there. You can see me in the mirror.
Oh, look at that. You're like Alfred Hitchcock, looming in the background of your own artistic creations.
Hey, speaking of the Alfred Hitchcock of RT, that's you, Max Kaiser. I saw that you made it to the credit sequence of the new Capital account with Lauren Lister. You're on one of the monitors in the background as she's at her desk pretending she's researching.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's a good show. Lauren Lister and Capital account on RT America. So now there's a good show on RT and RT America. And I got two good shows now. With our buddy Dimitri Kofinas is on the show. She's on the show. Lauren Lister. They got a lot of views on that show already.
Yes, yes. Well, it's the network to watch. It's definitely the global insurrection against banker occupation is to RT what the Arab Spring was to Al Jazeera.
Yeah, I think so. Or the Iraq War number one was to CNN. You know, an event comes along that defines a network and builds the network. And RT is now the go-to network for people all over the world that are following this global insurrection against banker occupation. Hey, speaking of knuckleheads in America, did you see that John McCain, Senator John McCain from Nevada, I think he's from, he was taunting Putin to restart global thermonuclear warfare?
Well, John McCain is from Arizona. But yes, he was on the BBC and warmongering. I mean, how is that not a crime here to be agitating for violence? He said Putin and China and others should be worried that they're going to have the same fate as Saddam Hussein, not Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi.
Yeah.
I be bombed to oblivion by NATO forces.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised that he would call out Russia and China on television like that. Like, you're going to end up like Gaddafi. And it's just embarrassing and shameful. And please don't associate me with that guy, John McCain. Yes, I am American. But on behalf of America, I apologize for John McCain's behavior.
There you go. Max Kaiser just admitted to being an American. But listen, the guy's very old, and he's part of that crew of old American dudes that are just obsessed with the Soviet Union. They're obsessed with it. Now, a lot of the... I have to mention this. I know we're going to get hate mail for this, but a lot of the scientists that back the Koch industries as well, that are financed by the Koch industries to deny global warming, they're also very old and from that generation that is very anti-Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Koch brothers, their father was fanatically anti-Soviet Union. So there's this weird anti-Soviet Union obsession from these old dudes, and hopefully, you know, once these guys pass on to the other side, that will end this weird virulent strain of anti-intellectualism and stupidity and warmongering will fade away, and we'll just be left with the anti-Arab, we want your oil, warmongering.
Yeah, what about John McCain's wife, Snakeface?
That's just an insult for no reason.
Well, have you seen her? She's got a snake face. She looks like a lizard snake face.
Well, that's what happens when you get one too many facelifts.
And it's kind of spooky looking, for sure. And there's old John McCain, who, remember, he sang that Bomb, 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 Bomb Iran Beach Boys tune. The guy needs more sex at home to calm him down, because he goes out in public and wanks all everybody, and that's not good. He's just causing a big war problem.
But, Max, how about this, okay? Why not let John McCain be president and let Americans try to really be what he says? So if America takes on Iran, China, and Russia, those are real opponents who can defend themselves. America likes to bomb like Honduras and Grenada and Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen and Somalia. With some of those states have no central government, let alone an army.
Yeah, well, it's so ludicrous. I guess what you made the point yesterday that because Obama is in office, when Gaddafi gets his face torn off by a hail of bullets, the Republicans have violence envy. You know, they have corpse envy, dictator corpse envy. So they now want to up the stakes and say, oh, yeah, well, we're going to go after Putin. You know, it's like, you know, something out of Dr. Strangelove. You know, you can't say that in the war room. You know, in this guy, McCain, he's obviously suffers from some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder or brain damage.
Or both, they think, probably.
You know, he's not well. You know, this is the problem. Also, they keep electing these guys year after year after year, well past their sell-by date, well past the senility has set in. You know, Reagan was elected. He was already senile. It was only after 4 years that he became obviously senile. And then by the end of his presidency, it was Nancy Reagan was like had her hand up his schwing-schwing and was just mouthing all the words for Ronald Reagan. He was dead from the neck up.
Hey, of all the user and viewer art that we've been sent, how come nobody has made a Shring Shring one for Max Kaiser yet?
That doesn't sound good. But
where's Max Kaiser's Shring Shring?
Yeah, okay. So I see that the biggest controversy last week in the Kaiser Report show, we do three a week, goes out to 3 million people a week, was that I wore a bow tie for our 200th anniversary show, 200th show, and this set off a firestorm of comments and tweets about my bow tie. Stacey, your thoughts on the bow tie scandal?
Well, I think that's good because, you know, somebody was telling us that boosts your Google rating. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad comments, as long as there's lots of comments. And it sure did set off a firestorm of comments that Max Kaiser would dare wear a bow tie.
Well, I started getting spammed by bow tie manufacturers, and that's annoying as heck. Who needs all that?
No, really? Are there bow tie spammers?
It's like I'm getting thousands of bow tie sellers on my spam box every day. Do you need a new bow tie?
And do they all, is it all Groupon spam? I get Groupon spam constantly.
Oh, speaking of Groupon. So they're going to go public on November 4th. They're going to raise $500 million at like something like a $12 or $15 billion valuation. And the report over there in the financial press is, oh, they just came out with their quarterly earnings and they're not losing money anymore. Now, this is a joke because they spent all their money on promotion. Then they booked that as revenue. And in fact, they weren't making any money at all. The business model doesn't scale at all. It's a Ponzi scheme, and they've run out of customers, and the only reason they're going public is to pay off the more of the, to keep the Ponzi scheme going. But the financial press is saying, look, they stopped losing money last quarter. They changed their accounting rules to be more in line with standard accounting principles and not the fraudulent accounting principles that they were using. And lo and behold, they don't make any money because it's not a business model. If I sell dollars for $1, I make a dollar. That's not a business. They were selling dollars for 25 cents and losing 75 cents on every dollar. Then they raised now $500 million in cash to perpetuate this Ponzi scheme where they don't make any money. But they're going to use the money to advertise themselves to say that they are a good deal, but they don't make a good deal. There's no way, unless they radically change their business model, this Groupon IPO is going to go to zero.
Well, speaking of going to zero, the U.S. economy is going to zero. And another thing, aside from your bow tie, Max, that has caused great controversy always when you say this on any television appearance or on our show, is that you said long ago that the U.S. would have been better just paying off all the mortgages outstanding rather than bailing out the bankers.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people who aren't quite as knowledgeable, maybe, or maybe that's the wrong word, but just who don't get it, say, oh, that's socialism or whatever, they attack you for that. Well, Ron Paul just said it in a debate.
Yeah.
Essentially the same thing. He didn't quite say it as eloquently as he
well,
did.
Well, I mean, the deal is that going back to 2008, when Obama came into office, there was a $13 trillion mortgage hole in the economy, and that corresponded with a $13 trillion accounting error in the U.S. banking system. But now it's amazing that an intelligent man like Obama doesn't see that if you have a $13 trillion hole on one side of the ledger, then there's a $13 trillion hole on the other side of the ledger. He simply said that, well, that $13 trillion mortgage hole is too big. We can't possibly fill it in with a bailout. So instead, we're going to bail out the creditors, the banks, with what they claim to be their gaping hole of $750 billion. Remember Hank Paulson's extortion from Congress. So they went ahead and gave him $750 billion, which quickly turned into $3 trillion, which is now up to $13 trillion. They bailed out the banks to $13 trillion. They're still bailing out the banks. They're still bailing out Fannie and Freddie. They're still bailing out Citi. They're still bailing out Bank of America. Merrill Lynch, which is now owned by Bank of America, just moved $10 trillion worth of bogus debt off their books onto the books of Bank of America, where now it's the liability of the U.S. taxpayer. So this is an ongoing multi-tens of trillions of dollar fraud. And at the time, had the banks told Barack Obama that we also have a $13 trillion liability, then Obama could have said, well, I can either bail you guys out and there's only about, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 of you guys, or I can bail out all the homeowners in America, of which there are millions, for the same money. And then an intelligent man would have bailed out the millions and let the banks pound sand. But because the banks lied to Obama about their liability, and because he is not a sophisticated enough guy to know when a banker is lying to him or who to ask really to get the right answers. Like, he could have picked up the phone to Bill Black, who bailed, who solved the SNL crisis and gotten some real numbers. But he didn't do any of that. So instead, He chose the absolute worst path, and now, almost 4 years later, the bank black hole of debt is bigger because all they did by giving them more money to bail them out, they didn't pay down any of the debt. They used that to speculate more, and all those speculations have gone bad, so the debt's actually higher. B, the debts in the housing market are still there. So the whole debt crisis has grown exponentially since Obama made this horrible decision. I mean, if you're going down the road and on either and one side of the road is a cliff and the other side of the road is a rock, and the safest route would be to drive into the rock as opposed to driving off the cliff. And Obama has driven off the cliff. If he drove into the rock, the economy would have crashed, and we would be rebuilding already, like Iceland. They crashed, now they're rebuilding. America's economy would have crashed, but 3 or 4 years into it, we would be rebuilding now. Instead, we haven't even gotten to the bottom of the nightmare yet.
Well, so I wonder how, because Fox News, which owns, along with Koch brothers, much of the Tea Party, and Palin as well, you know, the propaganda from them is that it's a very anti-Occupy Wall Street. So this is the reason why this topic came up in these Nevada debates, that they were all asked about Occupy Wall Street. And of course, you know, they're all, oh, we respect the First Amendment rights to free speech, blah, blah, blah. But basically they were against the Occupy Wall Street protesters. But Ron Paul said essentially that he backed them, that they... Wall Street does deserve to be protested against because they took all these bailouts, and it would have been better to just bail out the mortgage holders.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's true. Ron Paul, he understands a lot of what's going on. It would be great if everybody running for president had a cursory understanding of how the economy works, and then you could talk about things in that context. It's unfortunate that you've got 7 or 8 people running for president on the Republican side, and only one of them really understands anything about the economy. The other ones are only, you know, managing to get their campaigns' attention through media manipulation and media messaging, you know, soundbiting, etc. But they don't know anything about... I mean, Herman Cain... is a complete idiot. I mean, his 999 plan is dead on arrival. His entire business acumen comes from working at the Kansas City Fed, which is an extraordinarily corrupt institution. His Godfather's Pizza, okay, it's a subsidized, government-subsidized business that without the government picking up the cost for the waste that is generated on that trashy nightmarish business.
Plus all the food subsidies on cheese and...
Food subsidies and all that go into that. He'd be in the ghetto shining shoes. So he's nobody to point to and say, oh, there's a businessman of some kind of respect and accomplishment.
But this is the strange thing. It just shows you how easily manipulated the a huge part of the what is now called the Tea Party is. That who have been their two favorite candidates during this primary season for the Republicans? Michelle Bachmann, a former lawyer for the IRS, and Herman Cain, formerly with the Kansas City Fed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Like, they keep on saying that those two things in particular are what they're against. And here, take our candidates who are those very human beings.
Yeah, the Tea Party movement it really only lasted maybe 2 weeks, and then it goes completely destroyed by the Koch brothers and the Koch bots. So that's dead. The Occupy Wall Street movement—that's interesting. It's interesting to speculate how it will die. I think that the biggest threat I see to the Occupy Wall Street movement is this rumor or this. This idea that it's going to be turned into a reality TV show by Hollywood producers. That would pretty well kill that. On that side of the political divide is where most politics goes to die. I mean, if you look at the Huffington Post, you have Hollywood people making political statements that are easily shot down because they are Hollywood people. you know, and if you are, you know, if you look at some of the people, the Hollywood people that are politically vocal, they are, by definition, unable to take their activism beyond a certain set point that is set by the copyright industry, the copyright cartel, the Hollywood mafia. So they are bound by this, by the requirements of their industry. And their industry is one of the most egregious and worst offending civil rights nightmarish industries in the world, is the MPAA and the RIAA copyright cartel. That are, that you saw what happened last week, that they want to pass a law that if I sing a song on the internet, if I do a voiceover of a song, let's say it's a Justin Bieber song, and I do a video where I am doing a karaoke version, that that's a federal crime that I go to jail for.
For 5 years.
I go to prison for 5 years. This is what the MPAA and the RIAA want. This is why the copyright issue is one that people don't really understand how insidious this is, how pernicious, how ugly, how draconian, and why it's so important. Even the musicians on this freaking network, Resonance 104.4, the Musicians Collective, I'm sure half of the musicians on this listening to this understand the importance of repealing copyright law, but the other half don't, because they're like, oh no, I'm not going to sacrifice my... And those people are not artists, they're whores.
Yeah, but this is, again, you know, this disconnect that is going to cause a snap, a violent snap, as history says it always does, that here you have the worst crime, certainly of our generation. There hasn't been a bigger crime since, say, Agent Orange being dumped on Vietnam, right? Of this financial crisis, this financial crisis was wide-scale violence against our economies and our banking systems. Not one single person has gone to jail because of that. Bernie Madoff, yes, he was sentenced to 100-plus years in prison for one of the Ponzi schemes within this. But nobody has gone to jail about that. Nobody has gone to jail about all these illegal wars. Nobody has gone to jail over... well, I think one or two actually MPs have had a little bit of time or something like that for all of that theft, outright fraud and theft from the taxpayer of the UK. Right. And yet here are, you know, 20-year-olds facing 5 years in prison for singing a song.
Yeah. Yeah. And, unbelievable, nature of this conflict is getting quite pointed. Now, why suddenly are people becoming active? Is, you know, because for 30 years, you had this bull market in the bond market. Interest rates for 30 years were heading down. So people were willing to tolerate transgressions in their political establishment, in their banking establishments around the world. People looked the other way when crime was being committed, because, you know, I mean, in this country, in the UK, the reason why people's house prices were up so much up until the last couple of years was because of the massive fraud being perpetrated by the banks, who were keeping interest rates artificially low to pump up asset prices. So people who owned a house were like, great, I'm going to do an equity extraction. I'm going to borrow against this house. The house price keeps going up. It's an ATM machine. I've got lots of money. The fact that the country is starting wars, that they have no, that they're illegal, they're committing genocide in my name illegally. I don't care, because I can extract wealth from my house, because interest rates are going down, asset prices are going up. So this is going on for year and year. The government knows it. The banks know it. They also know that when the music stops and interest rates start going up again and the money flow crashes, as we saw in 2008, the big loser is you, the chump out there holding a negative equity on your house. Your sons and daughters are sent to foreign wars to get killed for big business and big oil. And, you know, you're being looted by your neighbor, who's upset because looting is the business a model of the country in Britain. It's okay if Barclays does the looting, but it's not okay if your local neighbor goes and loots a $5 pack of smokes at the local convenience store. So it's all come crashing home again.
Yeah, here's a story that we're going to cover on the next Kaiser Report briefly, but British businessmen told, pack your bags for Libya. This comes from Philip Hammond, the new Secretary of Defense. And he says, now that the campaign is over, I would expect British companies to be, even today, packing their suitcases and looking to get out to Libya to take part in the reconstruction of that country as soon as they can. This UK engineers will excel at rebuilding bombed out cities, they say. At the front of the queue for reconstruction contracts and deals in Libya are BP and Shell, who already have contracts to drill for oil and gas in the country. Those accords were signed in the aftermath of Tony Blair's famous deal in the desert with Gaddafi when trade sanctions were lifted in 2004. But the energy giants are confident they will be honored, with more to come. Libya's vast natural resources mean that existing deals are just the tip of the iceberg. New opportunity comes from repairing the bombed-out cities of Benghazi and Misrata. Designing and building new roads, schools, and hospitals is where British contractors and civil engineers can excel. Yeah, because they only overran on every single project in the UK and bankrupted the British taxpayer. G4S, the world's biggest security firm, will also be rubbing its hands.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at those photos of Blair and Gaddafi from those years. You know, you can just see the glint in Blair's eye that he is thinking about murdering Gaddafi. And sure enough, he did.
But what happened as well, like there was briefly some information that emerged when Tripoli fell. Some journalists, I think it was The Telegraph, reported on some documents that showed clearly the UK had sent human beings to Gaddafi to be tortured.
Yeah.
So why are we celebrating? Why is Hillary Clinton whooping it up that this man was murdered for torturing that person? I mean, in the US, that the guy who sent, like if you hire somebody to murder somebody else, that's a bigger crime than actually just murdering the person yourself.
Yes, well, it's not that 1%. There is no law for them. It's the law of we have it all and you have nothing. You know, I mean, that's the law. There's no, you can't really, you know, use jurisprudence, you know, legal conventions, law doesn't exist for them. They just, Tony Blair is completely outside of the law. You know, that special we saw, that film that was made, I guess it was for a UK channel, talking about his Tony Blair Associates, TBA. Mm-hmm. They consult with the Israeli government for dealing with Palestine. And they have no reporting to any organization at all. They don't report to the UN. They don't report to the UK government. They don't report to anyone. They operate completely outside of the law. They're doing multi-hundred-billion-dollar deals, telecom deals all over the Middle East. They're doing deals with Gaddafi. They're doing arms deals. They're doing drug deals. They're doing banking deals. No reporting to any institution whatsoever, completely outside of the law. And now Gaddafi gets assassinated. You know, they're ordering hits. So here you have Tony Blair ordering assassinations and cutting deals with no reporting to any entity at all. He's a rogue statesman.
Well, and that was by Peter Oborn for, I think it was Channel 4 had that documentary. And the most amazing thing to me was that within weeks of leaving office, the Kuwaiti royal family gave Tony Blair Associates £27 million. And the guy, one of these guys in the Kuwaiti administration, was saying, like, wink, wink to camera, that it was for the invasion of Iraq. We were happy with that, and this was for his services rendered. Now, that's over $50 million, even in the U.S., which, you know, the population is very tolerant of corruption. That, imagine had George Bush just taken straight out, like, that $50 million bucks from the Kuwaiti royal family. It wouldn't be, like, there would be much more uprising about it. Here, people seemed so far more concerned with some black people who stole a bottle of water.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a direct play for invading Iraq for $50 million. So he's a hitman with a very high price on his head, that very high price tag. If you want to hire Tony Blair to take out a dictator, you know, his price is $50 million. You know, Kate Moss charges whatever she charges for a photo shoot. Tony Blair charges $50 million for an assassination.
Yeah, but like you as the population here, the taxpayer and the population that endorses these wars, you should like reflect upon yourself that you're obviously such sheep that your prime minister can say, hey, give me $50 million. I could easily get my population behind it, killing anybody I want.
Yeah, those speeches in the House of Commons, those passionate, morally righteous speeches about why we need to go into Iraq for God's greater good. And it's so, pathetic. It was pathetic then. It's even more pathetic in hindsight. But people are easily manipulated by these impassioned speeches that call on the angels of our better nature, blah, 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 to go in there and murder a million people so that I can make a $50 million payday. But, he's a good orator. You have sympathy for him. He's got that wanky eyeball that you feel like you just want to hold him and cuddle him because he's a diseased little snot baby. But then he turns around and stabs you in the back by killing people in your name. So he's like Damien, the satanic child of the eponymously named film.
Well, yeah, there is that thing about, these extremely religious people. And he is Opus Dei, and he has these certain beings who think that they're speaking for some bigger entity out there are the most dangerous in the world. A lot of, Gaddafi thought he was above sort of normal human beings. His religion, of course, was himself, but he's a madman.
Right.
Tony Blair.
Same as Charles Manson or any mass or any serial killer. The son of Sam, he got his instructions from a dog. Religion is made to give psychopaths a justification to kill people. That's the primary purpose of religion in our modern age. Tony Blair decided Catholicism was his rationalization to commit mass murder. And when you go on TV and you look into the camera and you have stigmata pouring out of your wanky eyeball, it's convincing for the stupid people at home. They're impressed by that. And they say, well, maybe he's right. Maybe we should go kill a million people. And maybe my gas price will go down. Maybe my house prices will go up in value. Okay, Tony, go for it, Tony, what's the name of that guy from the fast show? He sells the cars.
Tony. Of course, he wasn't strong enough. He wasn't Germanic enough to just suck it in and live with the blood on his hands. He had to convert to Catholicism to receive some Hail Marys and be forgiven.
Well, at least Hitler blew his brains out in the end. He didn't try to convert to Opus Dei and convince everyone everything he did was a good thing.
No. And obviously, that's when Blair's eye went wonky, too, like in his whole forehead. And he became very creased and crazy looking during the Iraq war and having to make all those lies and justifications and justifying his homicide, mass homicide. But once he converted to Catholicism, he doesn't seem to have any sort of problem now. You can see it. He seems very relaxed and eased about ordering hits these days.
Well, you get inured to it, don't you? The first genocide is always the toughest, and then after that, it gets easier.
Well, I've never heard that one, Max Kaiser. There are a few people on Twitter who want an update on buy silver, crash JP Morgan, buy silver.
Yes, well, everything is in motion. The... I saw that Jamie Dimon and Blythe Masters are kind of like portrayed in this new movie called Margin Call, starring Kevin Spacey. And in the trailer, they have a scene where Jamie Dimon is played by Simon Baker, the guy from The Mentalist, and the woman playing the Blythe Masters character. They have a scene where Dimon accuses Blythe Masters of destroying the global economy by inventing these out-of-control derivatives. So the whole credit default swap that was invented by Blythe Masters and peddled by Jamie Dimon to create really the primary weapon of financial mass destruction is a scene in this movie, Margin Call. I haven't seen anyone comment on that yet. I'm sure once it comes out, people will quickly, you know, pick up on that theme and say, my God, you know, here's Jamie Dimon destroying the world. And so that's an interesting scene. Now, silver and gold are, you know, the story is the same. I mean, it's up to, you know, at some point, I think that the Occupy London movement and the Occupy Wall Street movement and all of the various global Occupy movements, people say, you know, they lack an agenda. They have no point of their actions. And so as it grows and as the crisis gets worse, you know, these Occupy movements will take a look at what we've been doing at the Global Insurrection Against Banker Occupation, and they'll look at the two or three ideas that we have to take direct action to decapitalize the banksters that they're complaining about. And, of course, the buy silver crash JP Morgan is one of them. And then we'll have a few more million people coming into this thing, and silver will hit our target of $500 an ounce. But right now, they don't have any stated agenda whatsoever, which is fine. They're building their coalition. You don't need an agenda to build a coalition. And they would just disband and be forgotten, but except for the fact that the crisis is going to get a lot worse. So the need for this will grow and the numbers will grow. And on our show, on this show, Truth About Markets, the Kaiser Report show, which goes out all over the world, we are steering the global Occupy movements into global insurrection against banker occupation. And within that, we've got the Buy Silver Crash JP Morgan campaign and the Boycott Coca-Cola Crash and Sell Short Coke Stock campaign, which we've been running now for 8 years. But during that time, the underlying dynamics of the global resistance movement have now come to the fore.
Well, we have to wrap it up here, and I'll just read two last Twitters here from Alex Cockcroft. He says, Owls hoping for 7 wins out of 7 at Hillsborough today. UTO up the Owls. You're supposed to say, yeehaw!
Oh, that's true, yes. The Owls are their best start in 30 years, I think, at Hillsborough.
That's right, and it's Gary Medine, the goal machine.
Yeah.
That's hoping he...
He's the leading scorer in the whole leagues, I think.
In the whole country, yeah. In all the leagues.
The whole country, yeah.
And liar politicians noted that Kai's report number 200 today, not much song and dance about it being the 200th edition of the show, and Blue Hugh, who says he has a third eye... He responds that, but that's quintessential Englishness. You have to know your place and not speak out of term.
Yeah, exactly. We did mention it was 200. I thought that was all we needed to do, really. What else? What should we do? Like tattoo the number 200 on my forehead? And
exactly. We mentioned it like 7-8 times.
Well,
maybe they were expecting us to be super American about it and go all like...
Like we need a special graphic... You know, girls dressed up as the number 200 dancing across the screen?
Yeah, that's what you should have done.
Well, gosh, we'll do it for show number 500.
Okay, and that's it for The Truth About Markets this week. Tune in next week, same time, same place, and we'll be here.
Bye, y'all.